And welcome to Innovation on Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, and we're broadcasting from the studios at the University of Sioux Falls. Researchers have discovered some exciting news that may explain why twins run in the family. Dr. Gareth Davis is the scientific director with the Avera Institute for Human Genetics. He's a human molecular geneticist with expertise in complex diseases and gene expression, and he's also involved with the Netherlands Twin Study. And I caught up with Dr. Gareth Davis in his office to explain this new discovery.
Yes, exciting news. We are part of a large group of researchers who have discovered the genes for twinning in fraternal twins.
Okay, and fraternal twins is more than one egg being fertilized, correct?
That's right, yeah. The fraternal twins sometimes are called non-identical or dizygotic, as we say in twinning research. They're not identical, the twins.
Okay, and so what did you discover?
We discovered two genes that play a major role in the likelihood of having twins, a lady having twins, but also playing a major role in learning about fertilization and also for a condition called polycystic ovary disease.
Okay, so let's start at how did this study come about and what kinds of things were researched?
Well, I think I've told you previously that we do a large amount of work with the Netherlands Twin Registry at the Free University in Amsterdam. I'm lucky enough to be a visiting professor there also. And we have been working with them for 9 years now. And what we do is we do the genetic analysis for the Netherlands Twin Registry. And we analyzed the genetics of these of fraternal twins and their families. And we were fortunate to find these two areas of the genome. One is called FSHB, which is follicle stimulating hormone. The other one's called SMAD3. And they play a role in signaling for fertilization of the eggs.
Okay, so this was just strictly looking at the mothers, is that right?
Mothers and their mothers and grandmothers. We followed these families, what we call pedigrees, and we found they had large pedigrees. Some of these twins were from different parts of the world, and fraternal twinning was very common within these pedigrees, these large families. So that helped us find the genes more easily.
So, you know, there's always the old saying, if there's twins in your family, you're probably going, your odds increase, right?
That's correct. And, everyone, anecdotally, we've always known that was the case. And the likelihood of a lady having twins, if there were twins in her family, was much higher. But there was we hadn't actually found genetic proof that that was the case until now.
Okay, so then this means that this gene in this female, she releases more eggs. Is that right?
It controls ovarian function actually, and gives us a better understanding of fertility. It also, of course, is very important in understanding whether someone will respond better or less to in vitro fertilization as well. So it plays a major role on fertility.
Okay. And so what you're learning about this then helps how women react if they're going through the infertility process as well, right?
Yeah, very much so, and whether they have more likely to respond or not likely to respond. So it does. It gives us a real good understanding of the likelihood of female fertility and reproduction. Hopefully would help families who are having trouble with fertility.
So you know this now about the genetic part of this. So then what new questions arise from learning this?
Well, in twin research altogether, I think we're learning more and more things. The twin model of genetics, why we look at twins, is obviously whether they're fraternal or they're identical, is to tease apart whether it's what is more important as far as developing a condition or any genetic trait. We can determine whether it's genetic or it's what we call environmental, whether someone develops obesity, for example. We have a wonderful study going on at the moment looking at obesity in twins. So in identical twins, actually, we're looking at whether a slim twin and one twin who is putting on weight. And in identical twins, that's quite rare, but we've looked at why that is. And we're determining whether it's just genetic or it's an environmental. Does one twin eat more than the other, for example? Or is it a difference in their genetics when we think that identical twins are identical at the level of DNA as well?
So what does this, this finding, what does this mean for what's next? For infertility research, for twin research, what's next?
Well, hopefully it will help in polycystic ovary syndrome. It's a major cause of infertility. And these signaling molecules play a role. Those hormones play a role in that. So that would hopefully that polycystic ovary syndrome affects lots of women, and hopefully that we can get a better understanding and maybe find a way of preventing that.
Okay, but you need to have you need to go through genetic testing, right, to know what's going on. And is that becoming more common as a first step?
Well, yeah. To do that, what we've done here is what we call genotype people. And that means look at lots and lots and lots of genes across the genome that could play roles in infertility or twinning, and other areas of the genome too. So what we can do, because we found these variants in these two genes, that means there's basically changes in the genes that affect their function, we can then maybe we can genotype mothers to be who are having problems with infertility and adjust the treatment, the fertility treatment, personalize that treatment then.
And when this study began, was this your hypothesis or was this a kind of a surprise?
That's a great question. And the Netherlands Twin Registry has been in existence for about 27 years, I think it is now, and we've been involved for the last 9 years or so. But they've always wanted to find the genes. They've always wanted to find the genes for twinning. That was one of the quests, and it's taken all these years to actually find these genes. And the next step is to look and see if there are other genes involved too. These may be just two of them. There may be others as well. But there was a hypothesis, as you said. That's why we collected families that had a high incidence of fraternal twins. So our hypothesis was that, yes, as we said earlier, people always say, if you have twins in your family, you've got a higher likelihood. Well, that's why we collected these pedigrees that were rich in fraternal twins. And we were very lucky and fortunate to find, yes, that was true. There is a gene or there are genes that are associated with twinning.
And how many people, how many numbers in all did you look at?
Well, we looked at close to 2,000 mothers of dizygotic fraternal twins. And then we looked at actually 13,000 controls, or as we say, who didn't have twins in their family. So there's a lot of people. And then we had to replicate that in a different population to see if we could find the same genes in one population. For example, these twins that we collected initially were from Australia, the Netherlands, and the US. And then we went and looked at another set of twins from Finland. And yes, we found that the same gene that we saw in the twins from Australia, New Zealand, Australia, and the Netherlands, the genes were still also present in the twins from Iceland.
And this is something that environmental really couldn't have an impact, couldn't have a role?
Oh, that's, again, another good question. We found the genes that have these changes, but how does the environment affect that? And that's, I think, that's the next stage as well. Does the environment affect it? Does lifestyle changes affect the genes function as well as the variants that we found?
Okay, so more studies to come.
Very much more, very much so. There's more studies on the twins. I told you about the obesity. We also have studies on looking at twins. One twin who is showing signs of dementia, Alzheimer's disease, and another twin not. And there, that's very, very interesting. We're sequencing, as we call it, the whole genome in these twins to find out if the one twin has a difference in their genetics. And yeah, lots more studies to come. And, you know, continuing to work very closely with the Netherlands Twin Register. And watch this space a little bit, because we've got some exciting news coming up quite soon that I hope I can share with you. Yes, and some other lots of exciting things in twin research here at the Vera Institute for Human Genetics.
And the twin, I mean, you're doing tests on both the fraternal twins and the identical twins, right? That's pretty much, so it's, you compare the two?
Yeah. Yes, that's right. You we do both. We look at the monozygotic and the dizygotic twins, but and then you can, you the twin model, as you say, and I, you know, trying to explain that it's really, so if in the identical twins, if their DNA is identical and one twin develops a condition, then you're looking at, is it the environment or is it the DNA? And then in fraternal twins, we're saying, well, their DNA is different, but they're still developing the same disorder, or they're not developing that disorder. So you can statistically test, as it's called in twin model in genetics, what role environment plays, or diet, or exercise, and what role the genetics actually play.
And remind me the number in your study.
This study.
We have
close to. I think there's close to 110,000 now. We have our freezers, walk-in freezers, full of DNA, as I think I showed you before, and it's quite impressive to see how these twins have been followed. That's one important thing and one of the unique things about the Netherlands Twin Registry. Not only did they collect the DNA. And then when I collect the twins and collect the DNA, but they also sent questionnaires to these twins. They interviewed them. They've got updates on blood samples and so forth to look at how the environment may have changed over those period of time. So it's a hugely rich phenotypic database, as we call it, which is the actual conditions these twins will are developing.